Yeah, okay, here we go. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another, unbelievable. We got another road show, big road day for Pete, which means it's a big road day for you fucks, because here we are, rocking like a hurricane, huh? So today started at, we'll just jump right in, right? I don't have any, you know, every other show I feel has some kind of a preliminary thing they go through, you know? How are you this day, this fine day? Oh, it's a Sunday. You know, it was just Mother's Day. I don't know what else to say. I just jump right in, you know? So today started at 5 a.m. I was in Chicago visiting family, which went medium, I'd say. The thing that sucked is, a lot of it sucked, but, you know, I got there Friday and came back Sunday, so that's a very short trip, which, you know, already is bad. And my family lives, you know, like, I don't know, 20 minutes outside of Chicago, but so I get there, and I thought maybe I'll just take the train downtown or go down there and do something. But apparently, NATO is a thing, and everything is kind of shut down because of the protesters, you know, or the fear of protesters. They had all kinds of cops. I was hearing that, you know, they were asking retired cops to come out of being retired to come do this shit. And also rookie cops, you know, or I don't know. You know how you see those kids sometimes that aren't real cops, but they have badges, sort of? But their uniforms are very plain. Saw those guys all over the place, I guess. So it's like the oldest and the youngest cops. The worst and the worser were going to be all over the streets, you know? But, so everything is shut down, though. They literally stopped the trains. The museums and stuff were closed. Not that I really cared about that. And I found all this out in the car on the way to my grandma's house. My cousin picked me up, Mike. And, you know, I was asking him what his plans for the weekend were, and he was pissed because this NATO thing, he met some girls at the beach over the previous weekend, and he was supposed to go down there and play volleyball with girls. But he couldn't because now he couldn't get downtown, and he was furious. And I don't blame him. Because you know what? NATO, if NATO is fucking up playing volleyball with girls, what good is it? I don't want to live in a treaty organization world where that treaty denies young men the chance to play volleyball with young women. What the fuck's the point? You know? Why? What's peace without that? What is it? Because that's kind of what I always pictured as being peaceful. So they shouldn't fuck up everyone's life like that. But also, you know, we were kind of going because my grandma's not doing so hot. Was word on the street, anyway. So we got there, you know, and then, of course, my uncle was around. Kind of regret not bringing this stuff with me, because I'll tell you what. Everything he talks about just turns into some kind of a tale. You know what I mean? So now, he used to work for the city, and now he drives a tour bus. You know, and they have one guy who drives, and then there's a guy who does all the talking, you know what I mean? So he just drives. That's all he's got to do. But he was telling me about how the different tour guides will say all kinds of different made-up shit, you know? And they'll be talking about the fire, and, you know, some of them will say, oh, 70 people died here, and some will say 700 died, you know, and stuff like that. Or, you know, he says there's a guy who'll just say, oh, yeah, this is where Al Capone used to take his mom all the time. He'll just make up stuff about Al Capone. I guess people are into Al Capone. I don't know. I'm not really into Al Capone, but that's fine. There's also a guy who, if you're familiar with the book Devil in the White City, which is a horrifying book about a Hannibal Lectery type character who was in Chicago during the World's Fair. And there's a tour guide who claims as fact that this man is Jack the Ripper, and that we now know that this was Jack the Ripper. You know, the evidence being, well, think about it. Jack the Ripper did all that shit, and then he stopped, and then after that, someone did that shit in Chicago. Put it together, idiots. So they all have their own hilarious versions of Chicago history, which I thought that would be kind of great, actually, if you could just make stuff up. You know, you could say anything. You could do anything. I mean, who's going to stop? You're going to get a rare person who knows, but what the fuck? Why would they be on this tour if they already know? If they know what Navy Pier is, then they don't need to get on the fucking tour bus, right? It's like $35 or something. Fuck that shit. You don't need to do that. So he was, you know, he was talking about doing all that kind of stuff. But, you know, for him, so him, like, everything is, you know, he can turn anything into a scheme or a scam. You know, he was telling us about how he'll take the, he'll ride his bike to the train because that's right by his house. And the last time we were there, he had what can only be described as a Pee Wee Herman bike, except green instead of red. You know, it was kind of a cruiser. It's like if you crossed a John Deere tractor with a Pee Wee Herman's bike from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. That's what he was riding, you know. And I'm not kidding. He's riding this Pee Wee Herman bike in the middle of downtown. And, you know, someone was like, what the hell is this? Where did you even get this bike? And he's like, oh, I got it at Walmart there. It's just as good as any other bike, you know. And then I'm not, we're standing there talking about where we're going to go. And he's like, all right, I'll meet you down there. And he gets on his Pee Wee Herman bike, spins 180, and just goes the wrong way down the street, downtown, into traffic, you know, and someone honks and he just waves like he's the the mayor or something going down there. And then, of course, so we meet him at a restaurant later. And, you know, his bike's not there. And he's like, I went off a curb, the wheel bent to shit, you know. It's like, yeah, that's what we were all saying. Like, what is this bike? This is a Walmart child's bike. You can't fucking ride around this. That's not going to work, you know. He was he's a food guy, too, you know. He always likes to take you out to the best places. And he'll go anywhere and he'll say, oh, they don't got anything good here, but you guys want to have a real good sub? Pete, Ian, sub? You know, and he'll take you to a sub shop or if you want beefs. He was talking about pizza. He's had kind of a lifelong love of pizza, I think. You know, that's what my mom always told. My mom was always telling us that when he was a kid, not a kid, a teen or whatever, when he had his first job, basically, he would order a pizza almost every day. And he'd order different names, you know, but it was to the same fucking address. And of course they'd know because they're going there every goddamn day. But he was telling us that when he was a kid, you know, that was like, he was saying that was his motivation to be good. He's like, oh, maybe Dad will order a pizza this week, you know. If I behave, maybe I'll get a pizza. But then he would do something bad at school. And, you know, they were in Catholic school. So he'd do something bad, and you had to take this slip home and have your parents sign it. You know, and he was like, every time I'd take it home, and then I'd give it to Dad, and he'd start taking his belt off, you know, getting ready to, and I'd just take off running, you know. And so he didn't get his pizza those times. It was always going that way. He was saying, too, that I guess his dad believed that Italian food was garbage food, is what he said, you know, that as far as he was concerned, pizza was just trash. It wasn't food. And, you know, they had a spaghetti sauce recipe, and that was it. You know, they had their recipe they perfected, and that was it. They don't want pizza or any of this other shit coming into the house. They also had whenever they ate spaghetti, so they, my grandma and grandfather, I guess, made the spaghetti sauce recipe. And whenever they made spaghetti, they'd have, like, a tiny glass of wine. I'm talking, like, a shot glass of wine, you know. And they called it Dago Red. And it was just this huge, you know, gallon jug of wine that sat on top of the dryer for years, you know. And I don't know much about wine at all. I mean, as we could go back to the tape if you want to go back. I don't know. It's probably episode somewhere in the 40s, maybe, of my wine experiences. And you could see just how much I learned and how much I, and imagine how much I retained after that. You know, when you start calling your sister and asking her for friends to spoon, you know you've gone too far into the wine. Wine country is not for you, man. So anyway, I do know that the proper way to drink wine is not to have a gallon of shitty wine that sits on top of a dryer for years. You know, it must just turn into shit. I can't really even fathom that wine doesn't need to be refrigerated. Just because, I don't know, whiskey I get. It's so boozy. It couldn't go bad. You pour it on things to make them good again, you know? Like if you have gangrene, you just pour whiskey on it and it's fine. But wine, I just feel like, would infect you. Turn your skin purple like Gorbachev's head. I always thought that's what had happened. Looked like he had wine spilled on him and it... like acid or something. So that was, you know, got a little family history there. He was also talking about, you know, this is how everything is. You know, he's talking about he rides his bike and, oh, if you go down there during rush hour, they got the door there for the fast exit. But you go during the rush hour, you can hear the bolt. There's a bolt in there that opens, but it just stays open during rush hour, you know, keep people moving through there. So you don't even have to pay to get on the train. You can just walk right on the train. You know, save $2. He's also telling us about his barber. You know, he's been recently displeased with his barber. I just got a short haircut. I'll tell you guys about that a little. But he's always had a short haircut, you know, and he's saying, I used to just get the crew cut all the time. But then the barber started saying, no, don't get that crew cut, you know. Your wife's not going to like that. She's not going to like that. We'll go with a two, a number two, okay, all around on a two. And he's like, no, I like the crew cut. No. You want to go with the two. Your wife's not going to like that. It's too short. You know, used to have a head of hair, but now you can't do that. And his big claim, you know, is that the guy wants to just not give crew cuts because then you don't have to get a haircut as often, I guess. Which I can't, it is partially true, I have to say. Because I get short haircuts and then I don't get them for, I don't know, 4 to 6 months at least. Probably get 3 or 4 haircuts a year-ish. And I just wait until I can't take it anymore and on a physical level. When it's in my eyes and then I say, all right, it's time. It's like when you get a dog a haircut and you don't really want to, but you're just like, we're cutting crap out of his fur. It's time. He needs a haircut. We don't have a choice. Or it's summer. And then the dog just looks sad. And it looks even sadder because you can see how sad it is because it doesn't have a fur layer to protect it from sadness anymore. It's just sad out in the open. Sad dogs in the open, boys. Yeah, I mean, my haircut. I got to be honest. I think I found a guy. Which is too bad for him because that certainly means something catastrophic is going to happen or he's going to have some kind of injury where his hands can't stop shaking anymore. It's bound to happen because I can't get a steady haircut for more than a year, right? Before it just turns into garbage. I used to go to this lady in her basement and she just did it, but she cost more and also she, like, sometimes she would half-ass it. You could tell. Like if she was in a hurry or she had something to do. I think this is why it's bad to work at home. You know, and it's fine if you work at home and you just do office shit because no one's going to care. Like, this spreadsheet's not really as good as the rest, but fine. Because I don't have to wear a spreadsheet stapled onto my fucking head and walk around for 6 weeks, you know? So she started really good, but then every once in a while I'd go and she would completely just give me some crazy, I mean, practically a bowl cut from time to time, which was unacceptable. Unacceptable. This guy, though, is pretty good. Also, I didn't like going into her basement. That was weird, because I didn't know what the rules were. I would get there and ring the doorbell, and sometimes she'd be downstairs because she was already working on somebody, and sometimes she'd be not downstairs. So I didn't know what to do when I got there. You know, do I just go in, and is downstairs part of the house, or is that her office? Is that like an okay place to go in if I'm scheduled? I didn't know. And then there were cats there, too, so a cat would go running out. I didn't know. You know, you never know other people's cats. Sometimes people are like, oh, I'll keep the cat inside. Don't let that cat out. And some people are like, oh, yeah, he wants out. Let him out. What are you thinking? Whenever a cat wants out, he goes out. I don't know. I don't know your fucking rules. They're your cats. You figure it out. You should have a posted rule of your cat. That way I know. I'm not judging anyone's cat rules. I don't really have a strong opinion either way. So just let me know before I come in, if there is a danger that the cats are going to run outside, you know? I don't know why cats, too, like, that are supposed to be inside are always trying to dash outdoors. No self-preservation on those fuckers, I'll tell you what. As we learned last episode here. Anyway, so I found this guy, but he's probably going to pass away. He gave me some interesting stuff. Well, he was cutting the back, and he said, oh, well, we probably don't want to go too short because you have this scar on the back of your head, you know? And you don't want people to see that, right? And I was like, oh, I don't give a shit, you know, which I really don't. Because it's like a scar from a concussion I had when I was a boy. What are you going to do? And it's not heinous. It's just no hair is there. Because I damaged my brain. You know, but he wouldn't go for that. He's like, of course you don't want people to see that. You want to look good, you know? And that was his, and then he was telling me about, I asked him how he got into it and all that, but he's like, I like making people look good and feel good about their haircuts. And he was saying some story about he's in the army, and then he was cutting some guy's hair, and this guy's like, you got no flow. You don't know how to cut hair at all, you know? And then he thought, oh, there's something to this haircut shit. Which sounds like exactly the beginning of one of those dance movies, you know? Some guy's in the army, and there's another guy, and they get drunk and dance, and the guy's like, son, you got no fucking flow! And then they teach him how to dance, and then everything's cool. It's like that, except with haircuts instead. But it turned out, he seems very happy doing it, I gotta say. And he has a lot of hair knowledge. I mean, he saw that scar. I have on my temple, I have like a birthmark, you know. It's no Gorbachev wine spill. It's like maybe just a drop of whiskey up there. But he was like, oh, you got a little birthmark here, so that's why the hair's not growing in. And I was like, oh. And he's like, did you know that? And I just said, yeah, even though, of course, I don't know that. I always do that. Because I just don't know what to say, and then takes me too long. So I don't want to seem mystified or like I don't believe that. I don't know what's going on in my mind. When I went to the doctor, the last time I went there, you know, I have a couple moles, and they're a reasonable size, but I can't really see them because one's behind my ear and the other one's on the top of my shoulder, you know, and I don't fucking look at them because it's repulsive. If you saw them, you would know what I mean. That's why they're covered. I wear makeup on the one. And so the doctor was like, oh, are you keeping track of these moles? And I said, I totally am. I had a friend take pictures of them, and I put a dime next to it so I could keep track of the scale. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, what the fuck are you saying? You didn't do any of those things. I didn't even take a pic. Didn't even occur to me to take a picture of them. And I don't know where it came from to say, oh, I put a dime next to it so that it would show the scale so I could tell if it was growing differently. You know, and he was very satisfied with that. He didn't even give me, like, a pat on the back, though. He was just like, okay. He didn't even say, wow, that's initiative or some shit like that. He was just like, okay. Which then made me feel even worse about going that far with the lie because it didn't seem to make any difference. I probably could have just said, no, I don't keep track of them. How would you like me to? Could you do that? You are the doctor, right? Could we take a picture right now and we could compare next time I come in? That seems like a doctory thing to do to me. I don't know. I don't know what you do all day. Not your boss. But I sort of should be. So I can't help it, though. I go too far, you know. So he's saying, oh, you have a birthmark here. So, you know, the hair is just not going to grow. Don't start calling the Bosley Institute, you know, for hair growth, which I appreciated. So anyway, he's pretty great. I got my hair cut, and then went to Old Chicago there. So I go to the airport on Friday, and I know everyone says this. I know no one disagrees with me, okay? But goddamn does the airport suck fucking nuts. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not kidding. The one thing my grandma and I completely agreed on, and I don't think either of us were fucking around, was I said, you know what? If I could just go in nude and not have to do all that shit and then just sit down and they just pull a paper sheet over the seats on the plane, you know, like at the doctor's office and you just sit there naked and you don't have to go through any of that bullshit, I would do it. I'm not kidding. Because it's the worst. It's the fucking worst. You know, sir, sir, sir. And they're always like, here's what they do. I go through the security line And I go through that body scan thing. And then, you know, he's like, "Sir, do you have anything in your back pocket?" And I'm like, "I got a wallet." And I take it out. And then he's like, "Sir, do you have anything else in there?" And I was like, "Yeah, oh, all my blades. Whoops." No, fucking what else would I have in there with my wallet? Who's pairing something with their wallet in their back pocket? And he's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to have to pat you down." Which, you know, he's like, "But just on your back pockets." So that was perfect because I got a pat down only on my ass. So that's much better than, you know, he's like, "I just want to touch your arms." Okay. No, just the ass. Which, if someone's going to pat down my ass, they might as well go for the full pat down, right? That's the sensitive part. I mean, that's the tricky, let's be careful thing is the ass. I mean, you can pat down my thighs all day. That's fine. Just saw a sign that said nonprofit needs help writing best sell book on the highway here. I wonder what that's about. I mean, don't we all need help writing a best selling book? That would really improve everyone's life. So he gives me the butt pat down, and then he kind of is like, "Gonna swab or whatever." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I start just walking away, and then he's like, "Sir, here's the thing." He would mumble everything except for "sir." You know, so it'd be like, "Buh, buh, 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 buh," and then I would just guess what he said and start doing something, and then he'd say, "Sir, sir," and then I'd walk over to him, and he'd be like, "Sir, hold out your hands. Hold out your hands for me, sir. Please hold out your hands. Sir, hold out your hands." Like I was an idiot, you know, and I'm like, "You have to fucking talk to me like a human. Look me in the eyes and tell me what you want. That's all I need. I know you do this 1,000 times a day, but come on, man. Come on. It's harder on yourself, right? If I can't understand you." So he swabbed my hands. Turns out there's no bombs in my hands. Guys, I didn't make fake bomb hands. That wasn't my genius plan. Oh yeah, I made my hands out of plastique and detonators. So, when I got... Oh, and there was a great sign at the airport that said... I don't remember the exact thing, but it was... "If you were born on this date, on this date before 1973, you can go ahead and just go through the thing." You know? So, it's like, oh, so if you're 75 years old, you can... You are allowed to go through without taking off your light jacket or your shoes. So a 75-year-old man or woman traveling alone is not forced to take off his shoes and coat. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Wow. Big good deal there. What a bargain they've cut us, huh? And you know, I think it's just they don't like those pictures. All those pictures of like an old nun taking her fucking stripping her clothes off. Getting out of that tarp they wear. No one likes that on the news. So they're probably like, "Ooh, God, let's stop stripping the old people, huh? Maybe we'll calm down on that. Just continue stripping the young." I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, I'm not sensitive to that body scan thing because I don't really think anyone's interested in seeing me nude. You know, I'm just like a middle ground guy, nude. So if you wanted to see someone who looked better nude, I mean, you could just get on Google and type hot nude man or hot nude woman and see so many images. There's really no need to just roll the dice on the x-ray machine all day. That's crazy. I mean, maybe there's a gambling element to it that makes it more exciting and enticing. Maybe you're just kind of forced to see what you see and that makes it kind of interesting to you because you're like, "Ooh, today is a good day. Tomorrow might not be as good. We'll see." I mean, I guess if I saw naked people all day, I don't know. I would think that for a couple months that would be fascinating, really. You'd be like, "Look at this guy's butt. What the fuck is that?" You know, it's all flat and on one side it's flat and the other side it's like deflated. I don't... Ugh, God. Anyway, airport's just awful. You know, and you get... And everything is like confusing. Nothing's ever the same or right, you know. I went and got my boarding pass today, and it didn't even have a seat. It just said NN. NN. You know? I was like, what two N-words are on here? I only know one word that's the N-word. And I can't imagine they're using that as a way to assign seating, right? This is like a Rosa Parks thing? I mean, that doesn't seem okay to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive guy when it comes to race. So, you know, then you have to go to this other counter, and then she gives you a ticket, and she's asking what kind of ticket you have, and do you want to upgrade for $50? And I'm like, no, why would I do that? You know, I don't know. I will say this. I don't do this. However, you know how when you're on the plane now, they don't let you listen to your iPod, for example, while during takeoff and landing. Which is stupid, because that's the part you most want to listen to your iPod, right? Because maybe you want soothing music, or just because you're bored and you can't really do anything. You know, they don't let you type on your computer or whatever. However, in the past, not me, but this guy I know, what he would do is he gets on the plane and just pretends like he's asleep with his headphones on. And not once has he been bothered. Now, in the past, he may have thought, I'm just going to start calling him me now, and just know it's not me, but just to simplify the story, it's me. So it's me. When I do this, like before, I had these small headphones, right? So I thought, maybe they don't even see the fucking headphones. They just think, that guy's asleep, whatever. But this time, I went on the plane with these big-ass DJ-style headphones, because I thought they would be louder and nice and drown out the plane noise, which was a great idea, actually. But I, you know, when I was putting them on when I got on the plane, I was thinking, fuck, this is going to fuck up my normal deal where I wear my headphones discreetly or wear one or put up my hood. That's a good move, too. Put up your hood. They don't say, sir, take off your hood, sir. But it turns out, if you turn on your headphones, if you just sit in your fucking seat, turn on your headphones, tilt your head to the side, and close your eyes, they don't make you turn your shit off. They don't even ask you. They don't do shit. I was on the fucking aisle. It would have been very simple, but I think that if you're asleep, they don't bother you for anything. I think I could have had my seatbelt unbuckled and wrapped around my neck, and they just say, fuck it, he's asleep. I don't want to interrupt him. If he's asleep, we don't have to do anything. Just let him go, you know. Boong! He's not going to be calling us on the thing. I have to say, every time, too, like, I don't think one time on a flight I've pushed that thing to call for somebody to come over to my chair. You know, the boong, and then they come over. But almost every flight I've been on, somebody calls for them to come over, and it's almost always during takeoff or landing when they cannot leave their seats. And then you hear, boom, and then they have to make an announcement of, attention passengers, we cannot leave our seats at this time, so please don't push the button, because we can't do anything about it, it's just an annoyance. We'll be with you in, you know, 40 minutes, however long it takes to get to a level that we think is okay for walking around. I wonder what people are asking for when they push that button. Blankets or... People used to ask for playing cards, right? But nobody's doing that shit anymore, are they? I mean, you're just playing it on your fucking phone, aren't you? I don't know. I don't know what people are doing on the plane. That's the other thing. Every time I get on the plane, everyone's got like a huge bag, right? This time I got on the plane and I decided I'm going light. That's why I didn't bring my podcast shit, because I didn't want to carry it through security and have someone be like, sir, what is this? Microphone? What is this microphone? And then you have to say, it's a microphone. And he says, let me hear you rock this mic. And I say, all right, I'll rock the mic. Till the break of dawn is how I usually start. So, you know, I didn't bring it. All I brought on the plane was a book and an iPod and giant headphones. So I'm carrying a book in my hand, you know. And I'm behind this big line of people, and the overhead bins are quickly filling. And the, I was going to call her a waitress. The flight attendant lady is looking around this guy in front of me who's trying to put his bag. And I show her my hands, you know, that I only have a book. And she was like, oh, thank God, that's the kind of carry-on I like. And you know what? I was happy. I was like, finally, someone recognizes my efforts to expedite. Because I don't know, I feel like everyone's just carrying their bag on. But then they sit next to you and they didn't bring anything. They have like a Cosmo and that's it. All that backpack and you don't even have anything to do on this, you know, I know it's 2 hours. But I mean, I just listened to an iPod and pretended to be asleep or read part of a book. It's very simple. You don't have to do a lot. I don't know. Just bring a thing. It's 2 hours. You know, for every 2 hours, bring a thing. And you'll be fine. That'll settle. And you can't do anything on the plane anyway. I mean, what are you going to do? Fold your laundry while you're on there? You need to bring all your laundry or something? No, you're just sitting there, trapped in hell. That's the thing. You're just being in hell for a while. You know, it's like, oh, air travel is so amazing. But on the other hand, it kind of blows. Because you have no freedoms. You know what I mean? You can't even pee when you want to. And everyone's getting up to pee, too, on a 2-hour flight. If you have a 2-hour flight, just do what I do. You don't drink any water. You drink coffee until you're so dehydrated that your stomach hurts. You know, you feel like you swallowed a mummy and it's absorbing all your moisture. That's the only thing you need to do for a 2-hour flight. Because you don't want to get up in a 2-hour flight, right? I mean, diarrhea, that's the only thing. If I got on needing to pee, I probably wouldn't get up and pee. I'd probably just push through. So quit it, you guys. Is it just fun? Are you just doing it for an activity? I don't know what's happening on the plane. That's probably enough plane stuff, right? We've all heard that. So I went and visited. And, well, the first night I was there, my mom and my uncle got into a big fight. Big, huge fight about my gram, you know? About her health and whatnot. And it didn't end well. They sort of reconciled or whatever, but I don't know. It was bad. And it's because, you know, there's a difference of opinion about my my gram. And I don't know. She's going to be 90 here in August. She's had hip replacements. She's got the emphysema. She had shingles, all that stuff, you know. She's coming up to the big one. God forbid. I'm not saying she's, you know, whatever. And she seemed very sharp to me, at least. But then we're sitting at the table, and she was telling us this story about she doesn't really watch movies or read anymore or anything like that, you know? That's the thing. Like, she doesn't do anything anymore. She doesn't read. She doesn't watch movies. She plays Pinochle online still, and she's really good at that. She does crosswords. But the rest isn't very interesting to her. But she watched a movie, My Sister's Keeper, which she told me is a true story. I don't think that's a true story. I don't really know much about it. But it doesn't matter, because she was saying there's a part in it where I guess Alec Baldwin is a lawyer, and for some reason he has a seizure in the movie outside of the courtroom, you know, and then she's like, and at the end of the movie he drives away in a convertible. But when I was a young lady working, this coworker of mine had a seizure, and her doctor said she couldn't drive for a year. But if she didn't drive for a year, and then she didn't have a seizure for a year, then she could go back to driving. So she went a whole year without driving. I had to pick her up at the bus stop and take her to work. And, you know, after the year, then she went back to driving. She never had another seizure. So she's telling this whole story, and I'm thinking, all right, well, she saw a movie. She remembers the movie pretty well. And she picked out a piece of the movie and related it to her own life. That seems pretty together, and it's a, you know, so it's something recent blended with something not at all recent, you know, probably, Jesus Christ, 60 years ago or something. So that's pretty good. I thought, all right, she's doing okay. Then the next day, we took her out to dinner, you know, and, you know, it wears her out to get in and out of the car quite a bit. She has an oxygen thing, all that stuff. So we get to the restaurant, or we're driving to the restaurant, you know, and she's directing me there, which was good. And that, you know, she was doing fine. And I was driving, and then she starts telling me that, you know, we talked about movies. I was just saying, I don't know, I get bored with movies and yada yada. And she was saying how she's the same way, and I was like, well, I guess I have better taste than you, because it only took me 28 years to get fucking sick of movies, and it took you 90. So I'm pretty advanced as a disliker of things, you know. And we both agreed that every movie should just be like an hour long. So I don't know what it means that, well, so then she starts telling me, oh, I don't really watch a lot, but I just saw another movie. And then she told me the exact same story again, you know, with all the same beats and the same inflections and the same whatever. She did not remember telling me that at all, you know. And you could tell she didn't remember telling it, even though it had been the day before, and it's a pretty long story. She had lots of detail and shit. And it came up a different way, but the story was exactly the same. And that's when I kind of started feeling like, oh, fuck. That's, you know, it really hit me. I was like, oh, man, she's not doing great, you know? She's not remembering things like I thought she was. You know, I was like, aha, evidence, she remembers everything. And then it's like, no, she just remembers some things, but not most things. Not everything. So I don't know. It bummed me out, you know. We got to, she was talking about, I mean, she doesn't get out very much anymore at all. She used to go to the store and stuff, but now it's just too much. And we were driving to the restaurant. She wanted to take us out to dinner, you know, and she likes this place. It was a funny place, too, because it's kind of a nice restaurant. But I guess at night, it's like a real meat market, you know. They had a band setting up, and they had a little dance floor. And the waitress, or the hostess, was wearing, like, really short black shorts, which I thought was weird. But I guess, you know, it was a fine restaurant during the day. Just normal kind of place. Steakhouse kind of atmosphere, I guess. And, you know, so we were driving there, and she was just saying it was nice to get out, and everything was really green, and it was nice to see that everything was so green and all that, you know. And, oh, my God. Bummed me out, you know. And we pulled up, and I went and parked the car, you know, let her out and the rest of the family out, and went and parked the car, and I don't know. I just sat in the car for a minute after that while they went inside, because I don't know. I wasn't ready. I wasn't happy at that exact moment, you know? It sucks. She used to, I wouldn't say she raised us, but she was there for us a lot when we were young. After we'd get home from school, she moved here from Chicago to kind of take care of us after school, you know. And she took us to the mall all the time, which was hilarious, because, you know, I'd be like, let's go to the mall, and she's like, you have $2, you don't need to go to the mall. And I was like, I would have said the same thing but made the opposite point by saying it. I have $2, let's go to the mall. I don't know why, when I was a kid, the mall was like, I don't know, that was gonna solve all my problems, you know, being at the mall. Loved the mall. Up until I was probably able to drive, the mall was the best. And then, you know, I would take the bus to the mall, and it took fucking forever. And then sometimes you'd catch the late bus back, and it wouldn't go all the way back home, and I had to walk home the last 2 miles. Which fucking sucked, by the way. These asshole bus drivers would just say, all right, kid, that's the end of the line. And I was like, but you're fucking going the same way I'm walking. You're going to drive by my house. And they're like, no. This is where I'm done. I got to go home and hang up my hat and jacket on a wall, a dingy yellow wall full of cigarette ghosts. So she did that kind of stuff, and, you know, she took us to the movies a lot when we were kids. And, I mean, she took us to some of the dumbest shit. You know, she took us to the Hot Shots movies, if you saw those. She took us to both Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey, which she hated. You know, and forever has said, like, I couldn't take you guys to the movies anymore after we saw that Bill and Ted's Bogus whatever, you know? And hearing your grandma say bogus in that term is pretty great. You know, I don't know. Maybe grandmas use the word bogus when they're talking about how votes are counted in an election or something, but Bill and Ted's bogus whatever, that was pretty pretty solid. But anyway, it was a journey, you know. Saw my brother. We went and saw the Avengers. Boy, it was fine. I don't know. I liked the Hulk. Iron Man was entertaining as always. And other than that, I didn't really give a damn. I don't care. Who cares? I don't really, you know what I really didn't like? I don't buy that Captain America guy as being, like, old-fashioned. He doesn't seem very old-fashioned to me. He's supposed to be from the 40s, right? And this is the 2010s. Shouldn't he be, I don't know. I don't know what he was supposed to be like, but I didn't get the feeling he was old-fashioned, other than he's confused as fuck. You know, he'd be like, what is that? What is that? I don't know these references. And you're like, okay, that's cute. Thanks. Thank you for that performance. In the meantime, if the Hulk could just smash the shit out of something, that would be probably why I came here. So then this morning, I got an early-ass flight coming home because I kind of hate the last day of a vacation. Like, part of me just can't stand it. Because it's kind of a wasted day. You know, you've got that deadline coming. You know that's where you're going. To me, it's like when I had to work some days from 5 to 9. You know, I know it's not true, but I'd feel like, oh, well, I'm not getting shit done today. This day is a waste. This day is dead to me. Dead. It'll never be worth a thing. So I made an early flight. You know, my plane left at 10. But that meant I had to leave where we stayed at 7. Because that was the next available shuttle or whatever. You know what's something that's really bad that people do that if you do this, you should stop? So, you know, you get on a shuttle. And the guy is always trying to grab your bag and put it up there. Because then you have to tip him. And people will go to real lengths and, like, dive on their own bags like it's a live grenade to keep the guy from fucking touching their bag. Because then they think they don't have to give him a tip. And you know what I've decided? You could just give him $2. Just accept. I give the guy $2 and I have a backpack. He doesn't even touch it. Nor does he need to. And you know what? They never expect it. And they're always very nice about it. But the way you just spent $200 on a plane ticket, you can give. I spent $6 tipping these types of men on my trip. I think that's a pretty reasonable tip budget for all that shit. I mean, fuck that. The job's got to be shitty, right? Parts of it. Well, you can afford the $2. That's what I'm saying. He knows he's dropping you to do something that costs $200, just the flight. He knows damn well you've got the $2. You're buying that Cosmo. I don't know how much Cosmo is. I'm guessing 8 or something like that. It seems like it would be expensive. It's very glossy. I don't know if they charge more for the perfume or if the perfume pays to be in there. Probably both somehow. Just pay the guy. Just count. You know what? It's a nice class move to pay the guy even if you don't have to. It makes you look like a nice person. It's like standing up on the subway even when you don't really feel like sitting down. But people will be like, look at that guy, man. Class all the way. And you're like, my legs are just, my ass is asleep in this plastic chair. Little does he know, I peed myself in that chair, this old man. But his senses are gone. He's never going to figure that out until it's way too late. He's going to be covered in urine. The perfect crime. You get to pee on someone, basically, without getting in trouble. So I got back. And, So I came up with this scheme, right? Because I kind of figured today is a lost day, you know. The day is dead. I mean, my plane will get in at 11. I'll be home at like 1. And then what am I going to do? Laundry? So I came up with this scheme, and I decided it's finally time to replace my bed that I've had since childhood with a grown-up bed. Now, this is something that people have asked me about much in the past. But before you ask someone about something like this, you have to look at the facts, okay? Fact. to do a total bed replacement, I mean, from start to finish, is like $1,000. It really is. If you're going to get a frame, a mattress, some kind of a box spring situation, if you're going to get any kind of a nightstand, you got to buy new sheets, all that stuff. I mean, and then, you know, I had to rent a truck to do this. So this is like a $1,000 thing. So I had to save, man. I had to save my riches for quite some time before I could comfortably say, all right, I'm ready. Let's do this shit. But I did. So I thought, you know what? This is going to be a dead day. Instead of just going home, I'll be in Denver already. I will go from the airport to the truck rental to IKEA, which I don't know. Is IKEA shit? Is it total shit or is it acceptable? I really don't know. I don't know if it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, I know it's better than if I bought a bed at Walmart, right? But how much better? What percent? Or is it nice? I don't know. What is it? I'll have to look somewhere else and see. But what am I basing this on? Cost? So anyway, but I found one there that I was like, this is going to be nice for me. I'm going to do it. So I got the truck. And oh my God, let me tell you something, because I needed to get rid of my old bed too, which is still happening. Everyone's got an idea. You know, if you ever in your life just want to be frustrated beyond belief, ask a serious question on Facebook, like of procedure. You know, because if you ask something like on Facebook along the lines of, guys, need to get rid of an old bed. It's no good to anyone. It's destroyed. No one's going to want it, and I just need somewhere that I can dump it. I don't even care if I have to pay. Here's what you'll get every answer. Goodwill will take it. Just schedule a pickup. Or they'll say, oh, you'd be surprised what people will take if you put it out on the sidewalk. To which I am like, no one in their right mind, obviously, who even in their wrong mind is going to take a twin bed off the sidewalk that's all busted as shit? You know, the frame is held together literally with zip ties. It's got wheels on it that are completely broken. Because this isn't meant to be a lifetime bed, which it's kind of been for me. This is meant to be a, like, until you go to college bed, probably. And then when you come home once in a while and you're like, Jesus Christ, this thing, my back. I can't even take my back anymore. So anyway, if you want to just be frustrated as fuck, just ask someone a question like that. And no one gives you a thing. No one gives you what you asked for, which is, I want the number of someone to pick this up or how I can just take it to a dump. No one will help you. Everyone's worthless. Maybe I'd need to be friends with more trash men, which actually would be good for me. I think we share a close aesthetic. We probably wear a lot of the same clothes. I like coveralls and backwards hats that are greasy. So I go, I rent the truck. And if you've never rented a truck before, it's fun in a way. I mean, it's horrible because, you know, they kind of try to fuck you on everything, but whatever. I mean, you just accept that it's going to cost money and do it. That was the whole thing to get over. And you go there and it's always the greatest thing because you're like, I'm renting a thing that's worth, you know, I don't know, at least $10,000, right? Realistically. And they're just going to let me take it away from here. I mean, you could just, and the thing is, man, when I drive those trucks, I drive the fucking shit out of them. You know what I mean? I'm doing every turn, the wheels are squealing because why not? I'm not replacing the tires. You know, there's no tire replacement. There's no like, wow, you're really eating up transmission, you know what I mean? Fucking flooring it at every light. It's not an appropriate way to drive. It's like driving a go-kart, an expensive go-kart that could easily kill. But the thing is, why not floor it at every stop is my question. Because you can. No one's going to stop you. And there's no law that's like you can't floor it at every light. I mean, you don't do that in your own car because it's so terrible. But in a U-Haul van, fucking A. Again, not me, a friend would do this and does this. You know, and you go out there, you rent the fucking thing too, and you go out there and you have to walk around the car, the van. What they do is they put a little sticker on every spot where there's damage. You know, and so he's like, all right, what we're going to do now. And it's always like a 17-year-old boy with a horrid mustache-beard combo of some kind. But it's like 17 going on 50. He's balding in the front or something and just looks, I don't know. Looks like he has a lot of fights with his mom in a trailer where a trailer door gets slammed at the end. You know what I mean? And so you have to walk around and they put these little stickers everywhere there's damage. And this thing was beat to hell, man. There was a sticker on almost every surface of this fucking van. It had been, sideswiped on both sides. The bumper was falling off the front. The back had been scratched. I assume there was maybe, possibly no longer a roof on it. Because, you know, he made a really big point of the 11-foot clearance. And he's like, your insurance thing is good for everything except for the clearance. You know, if you go under a low roof, that's, I guess, just being dumb. I don't know. I mean, I drove the one before, and there was definitely a few times where there were branches scraping the top. I don't know. What are you supposed to do about that? Branches should be more than 11 feet off the ground, right? Trees can go as high as they want. What are they doing so close to the ground? That's my question. It's like when you see a bird walking, they're just dicking around, not even using their gifts. They just want to show us that they don't even care. I know I can take off whenever I want. No one's going to take that away from me, so I'm going to just walk around. You know, you get the truck, so then I have, yeah. The other thing is, you rent the truck, and driving it at first is hard as hell, because it's gigantic. The mirrors, okay, I get on the interstate, and I'm not kidding. When I get up to speed, the mirrors collapse against the side of the van. You know, they stick out way to the side, so you can see, but they're adjustable, and they folded, so they were completely up against the side of the van, which means you're completely blind, because there's no rear view at all. So you have your side mirrors alone to know what's going on around you, and those were gone about halfway home. You know, halfway home, I just had to say, well, I guess I'm sticking to this lane until I slow down enough that I can push the, because I couldn't push the mirror back out because you're going 75 miles an hour. And, you know, the force that closed it is too much to overcome. But what's funny is, you know, you're white-knuckling it for about 2 minutes, you know. And I had to do a reversing and all and make this tough left turn. And you're just like, God damn. And then after about 5 minutes, you just don't give a damn anymore. You know, you're driving it like your dad owns the U-Haul factory. And you just got to drive this one downtown for a minute. And he's like, yeah, we're just taking that to the scrap. I mean, you just don't care. You know, I had the window open and just had my arm out the window in boredom. That was it. After 5 minutes. So I can only imagine, I mean, there must be some spectacular U-Haul wrecks, because driving cross-country, you get real comfortable, you know? And then still, you have that mentality of it's not your car, it's kind of like being in a cab, where it's just entertainment, almost. Then I get to the IKEA. And again, I don't know how to feel about this store. I don't know if it's a shithole, and it's the worst thing that a person can do, or if it's, like, nice-ish. I don't know. I don't have style to know that. There are a lot of pretty girls in IKEA, I'll tell you that, though. If you're looking to find a pretty girl, and your best hitting on her situation isn't in a bar, it's preferably when she's shopping with her mom, then IKEA's your place. If you're a hit with moms, which I've done well with moms, the moms usually like me, so maybe that's my place. Maybe this is my wheelhouse. I should just spend, you know, weekend evenings at IKEA. Bring a flask and just walk around for a while. And the thing that sucks is you got to walk around this whole fucking store, you know? And it's humongous. And everyone's got like a, they have these sort of dolly things that people are wheeling around, which are, they're just walking slow as shit, and they're just looking at everything, which is, I don't understand. I mean, if you're just looking at everything, just look at everything. But, I mean, are you really thinking about redoing your entire kitchen? Did you just go to IKEA being like, maybe we'll redo everything in my life, you know. I spent time in the bedroom zone, but then I'm not walking down the path. I'm off to the side, you know, and you're laying on these mattresses, which is hilarious because, I don't know. I mean, you're laying on a mattress and you're fully clothed and there are just people walking around, some with giant ice cream cones. And you're thinking, I don't know, every time, and you know, a lot of couples would lay on mattresses together and they just lay on their backs like they're corpses, which I'm like, is that really how you sleep, A? And B, there should be some kind of a way to test sex. I'm not saying you gotta have sex. I'm just saying maybe a more private mattress zone where you can lay on top of somebody. You don't have to get crazy. You know, I'm not saying it's like, oh, yeah, can we standing 69 while on the mattress? Because you never know when the urge might strike. But I'm saying there should be something that at least takes you down that road, right? So you can at least get an idea, because those are the main activities. I don't know. I guess a lot of people are probably like eating and watching TV in bed. Maybe they should set up a TV. But that, you know, you could imagine a TV, right? You can imagine a show. Just remember an episode of Lost that you liked or whatever. So anyway, I'm laying on these beds, and then I picked out a mattress. But you have to write down, you have to get all the shit yourself from basically a big warehouse. And so I didn't write down the mattress number, so I had to go back for it, you know. So then I go back, and there's this couple laying on there, just chatting. Like they're fucking laying on the hood of a car, watching the stars on a date. But they're in IKEA looking at a pipe in the ceiling. And I didn't know if it was appropriate to go up and look at the tag when they were laying on it, you know? Just like, oh, I'll just go look at the tag, maybe give your foot a little tickle here, sir, and then I'll be on my way. So I just had to wait, and they laid there fucking forever. Which I guess maybe says I made a good mattress choice. I don't know. I don't know if it's different, too, if you're not balanced with somebody else laying on the other side. If you have a mattress and you sleep alone, should you alternate sides and that kind of thing? I guess you could just flip the mattress around, right? But what if you get with somebody and they're used to sleeping on one side of the bed and that's the side of the bed you always sleep on? You'd be screwed. Or if I always sleep, let's say I always sleep on my right side and the person let's be realistic, somebody sleeps on their right side and then that somebody actually has someone stay at their house and they sleep on their left side. So you're just going to sleep face to face, breathing in each other's mouths all night? It's gross. So you probably should just practice sleeping different ways, right? Like Monday is sleep on my back night, Tuesday is the front, Wednesday, Thursday is the sides. Do what you want on the weekend. Weekends, you call it. Friday is ladies' choice. So, you know, I get all the shit. I make all this list of shit. And then you go to this warehouse and you have to stack all this crap on a cart, you know. Which, that was the part, I gotta say. So far, I'm doing pretty great. You know, I fly home by myself, like a big boy. I drive to get the moving van. I rent a moving van alone. I drive it alone. I'm going through the store alone. I make all these decisions by myself. And everything was going good, but I'll tell you what, like wrestling a mattress onto there and then other, like a whole nightstand and all that shit, pretty fucking hard. Could have used help. And then trying to steer the cart was really hard because I could only see, it was much like driving the van, I could only see on one side at a time, you know? Bashed it on a wall going in the elevator, all that good stuff. Very comical. And then carrying it in my apartment was real tough. When you move stuff, I mean, there's kind of two different styles of moving a heavy object when you carry it with someone else. There's the kind where you start going and then someone's like, okay, I need a break. And then you just stand there and breathe hard for a minute and think about how awful this is and how you regret saying you'd help them move. And then they say, all right, let's go. And then you go another 10 feet. Or in my preferred style, you just go through the horrible pain and you're like, you just pretend like the floor is lava, you know, and you're gonna die if you drop, or someone's got a gun to your head and they're like, move this mattress, and if you drop it, I'm gonna blow your fucking head off, you know. So your fingers are slipping over the edge, it's like an Indiana Jones thing, and you barely get it there, and then, you know, you almost always damage a piece of furniture because you, oh god, just drop it when you get to where it's going. That's my normal style. But this thing was so fucking hard to carry by myself because a mattress is like floppy and big. I don't know. I got halfway and I had to stop and readjust. And I thought about carrying it this weird other way, kind of like Atlas carries the Earth, and was like, no, I don't think you're that strong. And also, it's not going to fit through a doorway. So you're going to just have to carry it this awkward, crazy way. 10 more feet, and then everything's cool. But I did it. You know, and then got the old stuff tossed out, and then drove the fucking van back to Denver. And then got in my car and drove back home. Which is crazy, too, because... So that's, I don't know, probably 4 hours on the road. I mean, I left Chicago at 5 this morning, the time it is here, and it's now 8:15, and I'm almost home. I still got to put this fucking bed together, too. God knows what that's going to be like. People have told me horror stories. I don't think it'll be that tough. I mean, it's a rectangle. I can do a rectangle. That's even easier than a square. Because, you know, if it's a square, who God knows which one's the top and the bottom, front and back, or whatever, however beds work. So, I don't know. And really, my old bed, I'm not going to say I built it, but I rebuilt it worse than before. It's like the reverse of the $10 million man or the $6 million man, you know? We can rebuild him, but he's going to be a piece of shit. And it's going to be worse and worse, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've literally gotten in bed and it just collapsed on the floor. And then you have that depressing minute where you're like, maybe I should just leave it like this. If it's just going to keep doing it. But, you know, it's at an angle, and then you're just sliding towards the floor, and you're like, all right. But nothing worse than at 1 a.m, and you're just ready to collapse, and you have to get up and take the mattress off your bed and fix the frame with another zip tie. Hope you have zip ties at home. Buy some, guys. Well, that's probably it, right? I mean, that's about an hour. So I'm going to get home here and put the bed together. I'm sure I'll let you know how that goes. Hopefully it goes together easily and looks delightful. I guess I need some sheets and shit, too, still. Damn it. Hopefully Target's open. Target's always open. Love Target. I wish Target just sold beds, you know? Thanks for listening again. I don't know. Let me know what you think about doing more than one show a week. Is this working? Is it too much? Well, you know, don't tell me if it's too much, because fuck you. Just listen to it when you have time. That's the whole point of this. I mean, we don't broadcast live anyway. Couldn't even do it. Don't even have the internet possibilities. We're still in the early days. So, but if you like it, let me know. If there's one person out there who's into it, just let me know. And, and don't forget about, if you have additions to Summer List 2012, Pete's list for hopefully not fucking ending his life during the summer, please send them to me. Please, 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 because, I don't know, I just bought a new bed. This is not the time. It's not the time. All right, thanks for listening.